Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 22nd of November. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, listener. Good afternoon, studio guests.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, thanks.
You're not very loud.
Oh, dear. Doesn't sound like me.
Try again.
How's that?
No, it's not good at all. Don't like that at all. I know why.
Hold on.
Now do it.
How's that?
That's perfect.
That's better, isn't
it? Somebody's
been
fiddling with the buttons.
That's better. Pushing all the wrong buttons again.
Absolutely.
You and I have been a bit busy recently, haven't we? We've been crossing paths at all sorts of events and things.
We have indeed, yeah.
Bumped into you at Unconference last week.
You did.
Great event in Canterbury.
It was great, wasn't it?
A week before, I think we were both at Get Socials.
We were.
Up at the Longfield Academy.
We were indeed.
And then the week before that, I think I was at East Kent B2B. You weren't there, but Jo Dodds did a live
Yeah, she did a live phone-in from the exhibition.
Mm.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot going on.
Yeah, it's
a
some
lot
really
going
good
on.
Stuff as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and there's a big one happening next week, Grow Kent,
yeah.
Which is the first. It's the first time it's ever been run. It's a completely different type of event to all the other events that have been run. And we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be quite different. That's happening on Wednesday the 30th. And funnily enough, in a moment, we're going to be talking to one of the keynote speakers that's going to be at that event, Steve Clark from Eureka Sales. Really looking forward to that.
I'm off to that as well. Are you chairing that one?
I am indeed.
Week? Yeah, okay, yeah. Brilliant. And I know the lovely Linda Garcia from Aluxi Consulting is actually exhibiting at that as well.
So I think she might be doing a one-to-one clinic as well.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you want to know...
Because I'm feeling under the weather, so I might visit and see what she's got to say.
I don't think you're flavour of the month with Linda at the moment. Because
am I not?
You don't keep a to-do list.
I know.
So Linda's all about productivity. And
yeah,
if you haven't got a to-do list, how can you possibly be productive?
She posted a really cheeky tweet yesterday that showed a to-do list with nothing written on it
And
claimed my pencil had broken.
You've done it all. That's all
that Well, that's what I said. I tweeted back. It was like 7:30 in the morning. And I went, well, I've just finished all my list while you're still writing a list. And she never responded again for some reason. I don't know why.
But, of course, all that means that time has just flown by, doesn't it?
It has, yeah. I mean, this year's gone really quickly.
December's next week?
It is indeed,
A
few days away.
Yeah, autumn has just whizzed by.
Mm.
Scary stuff.
So, all good stuff. We'd like to hear from you, actually. The business is out there, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, ring us on our brand new telling phone in the cloud on Ashford 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035. You can call me or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag #BeBunker. We have already had 19,733,963,500,000 tweets.
Do we want to introduce our studio guest before we get into that?
No.
No, have I jumped the gun there?
Yeah, you jumped the gun.
Yeah.
You'd think after a year of co-presenting this, he'd know the format of the show, really, wouldn't you? That we present the guests as we go along.
Oh, okay.
But now you've mentioned that there's someone here, people are going to go, who is it? Who is it? Who is it?
On?
So
who's
now,
on? I think
so
we
now
should.
You've got to introduce them now,
yeah.
Martin.
Okay, all right, brilliant. So on my left, we've got Paul Kane from Kane and Beer of the famous Curry Networking Evenings. Paul, say hello.
Good afternoon, everyone.
We have Graham Marley from Let's Do Business Group, who are, amongst other things, the delivery partner for the government startup loan programme in Kent.
Afternoon, everyone.
And next to Graham, we have...
Hi, I'm David Williamson from Kent Business School.
Brilliant.
There we are.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Doing your job for you.
No, not at all. I've got a format for my show. The fact that you chose to change it is not down to me. Should we start
someone
on the spat?
Someone called me a disruptor the other day.
Is that all?
Yeah.
I think that was disruptive.
Disruptive, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was a compliment.
Was that your nursery nurse? Hey, listen, anyway, enough of this silliness. We've got dozens and dozens of tweets and emails and all kinds of things to read. So I'm going to kick off by starting to wade through some of the tweets. And first up, we had a tweet from the lovely Tabitha Beasley. On the Twitter, she is Tabitha is TMA. That's the marketing assistant. And she says, Vanillaware Business Bunker, please could we have a shout out for the marketing assistant? We are award-winning, flexible marketing, advertising, social media people for small businesses in Kent. Thank you. Well, an absolute pleasure to shout out. Do follow Tabitha on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Tabitha ISTMA. Tabitha is TMA, the marketing assistant. So do give Tabitha a follow. And we've also had a tweet from Oast House Gifts. And on the Twitter, they are, in fact, Oast House Gifts, which is lucky, isn't it, really? And they say, Vanillaware, can we have a shout-out, please, for Oast House Gifts? Please, busy hand-making gift boxes and gifts for the Night Yard Christmas Fair. I don't know what that is. It's a Twitter handle, The Night Yard. We might have to look that up and find out what it is. The Night Yard Christmas Fair, which is on the 26th of November. So there you go. So, have you got something to read?
I have. I've got a couple of things. I'd like to give a shout-out to a couple of new Supply My Business members that have joined us in the last week or so. So we've got Invicta Insurance Services. Welcome to you guys. And we also have an organisation called Troman Finance, and that's Paul Rainbow. And Paul is he's an asset leasing specialist, but his passion really is cars. And I saw my first Christmas tree today. I was out with Graham at the Ashford International. And it's just an offer has dropped in my lap from Paul. So if you're struggling for ideas for your beloved wife or partner this Christmas, how about leasing her a brand new car? So Paul has got a fantastic deal on the Citroen C1, a 90 pre-reg. And it's basically $49.95 a month with £1,200 quid down and then $49.95 a month. There's no road tax to pay on that. So, crikey. I think that's a bit of a bargain. So if you're struggling for Christmas ideas for your loved one this year, take a look at that deal. It's on the Supply My Business website and it's Paul Rainbow and it's paul@tromanfinance.co.uk. What a brilliant deal.
Thanks, Del Boy.
Yeah.
Would you buy a second-hand car from that man?
No need to buy a second-hand. This is brand new for £49 a month.
We were discussing off-air about leasing cars. I lease all my cars now, both personally and my business cars, and I don't, for the most part, I can't see a better way of doing it.
No.
It's much more conducive if you're going to go for a new car. I do believe some dealers will actually let you lease a second-hand car as well, occasionally, if you should need to do such a thing, but I can't. Think why you would.
We ought to mention the lovely Sherry Newton.
We did ought to mention the lovely Sherry Newton.
Just before you
mention Little Pep and Sherry and what she's doing, we ought to mention the fact that we're missing Bird today. Bird got sidetracked into doing something else, which is why there was no pre-show show today, because Bird wasn't here to do it. So just a big shout out to Bird saying, missing you, be back soon.
No Facebook Live today, folks, unfortunately.
Yeah. So you were going to talk about Sherry.
Yeah. So at the Unconference last week, Sherry was one of our presenters and she's had a juice shop, a fresh juice shop on Herne Bay Pier for a while now. Obviously, she's not open during the winter.
Well, she had to shut on Sunday because it was a tad windy.
Yeah, a little bit windy down there at the moment. She's actually right next to Chris Searle, who was also at the Unconference last week, music studio on the pier. But Sherry's taking that time in the winter to set up a new business, which is Juice on Wheels. So her vision really for that business is to take fresh juice, packed full of vitamins and goodness, to vulnerable people in the community who might otherwise not have access to fresh fruit and veg, for example.
Right.
Now, she's running a fundraising campaign. It's a crowdfunding campaign that she's got running for that. And it's... kicking off really next Friday with 10 marathons in 10 days that she's going to be running. So if you'd like to get yourselves down to Herne Bay next Friday, I think the mayor's going to be there, all sorts of dignitaries are going to be there, but Sherry is running 10 marathons in 10 days and she's actually encouraging small businesses in Kent to get on board with that in terms of her crowdfunding campaign that she's got running. And there's all sorts of packages that you can buy into. You've got apples, bananas, gingers, beetroot, avocado and blueberry packages, all priced at various different levels, all aimed very much at kind of small businesses to get them on board to help her raise the money that she needs to get that business off the ground.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic thing she's doing. She's working really hard. And she's also at the UN conference, she agreed to do this banana thing as well.
What, dress as a banana?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. She's going to run one of the marathons dressed as a banana, isn't she?
Well, she's running one of the marathons dressed as a pumpkin. And then she said if she raised enough money at the UN conference, she'd run the last one dressed as a banana. And she actually raised the money straight away.
Fantastic. Well, she's brilliant. So you can follow her on the Twitter at Little Pep Juice. But her crowdfunding campaign is justgiving.com. And I think it's /juice on wheels, something like that. So you'll find her there. So if you can support her, please do. It's a very worthwhile cause and definitely one for the future to look out for.
Cool. I've had Brian from Invicta Chamber. Would be great to get a shout out on the Business Bunker show. And also for something called the I Will Week campaign. I Will Week. Now, I'm not familiar with that. There's a hashtag, I Will Week. So I suggest you check out the hashtag because I'm not sure what that's all about. But there's quite a few people talking about it, and it sounds like it's something quite interesting.
We mentioned Linda Garcia earlier and Gro Kent next week. We've also got another resident expert who's been on the show a couple of times, the lovely Gemma Fairhay. Yep. Well, actually, it's Gemma Fairclough Haynes, but on the Twitter, it's at Gemma Fairhay. Now, Gemma is really involved quite heavily with this whole, do I employ self-employed people or do I think I employ self-employed people, but actually they're workers that are actually working for my business. And that's quite important because if they are workers, then they're obviously entitled to worker benefits in terms of, you know, holiday pay, for example.
Yep.
So that's very high profile at the moment. I think there's a Deliveroo case that's about to go through the courts on that. Uber has just been through there recently. If you have any doubts about the status of the staff that you employ in your business, can I suggest that you get in touch with at Gemma Fairhay, Orchard Employment Law, and hopefully she can guide you through what has become quite a mess, quite frankly. So there's a shout out for you, Gemma.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Right, let's see what else we've got. HR Services and Support, please got to have a shout out on the Business Bunker show. We're Strategic HR and OD, Organisational Development. Okay, that's HR Services and Support, and the Twitter handle is Fiona Stevens with a PH, HR, Fiona Stevens, HR. So do give the lovely Fiona a shout. Someone brand new to Twitter, so do give them a follow. They're a Kent-based organisation. I believe they're based at Blean over there between Whitstable and Canterbury, and it's a company called Pest Attack. Pest Attack. And guess what they do?
They get rid of pests.
They get rid of pests.
Yeah.
And their Twitter handle is PestAttack1, and it's spelt PestAttack1. So do give them a follow. They are listening to the Business Bunker as we speak, and it's their first time of doing that too. So a big welcome to them. They're listening in their van while they're off to do some damage to some pests, I think. Although, having looked at their profile, they are ecologically friendly pest control.
They are some of the most...
So whether they talk them into surrendering or something, I don't know.
Some of the most powerful people in the community are pest controllers.
Really?
I had a friend who whose son worked for a big pest control business in London, and his patch comprised Regent Street, Oxford Street, and I remember one day there was an infestation of cockroaches in a well-known Oxford Street department store who remain nameless. Because we couldn't afford the libel suit for this one.
That's selfish of you.
And he shut the whole of the store down. He'd only been in the job for a couple of weeks. They hadn't really trained him properly, but you know, here he was in this position of responsibility where he was actually able to shut the entire store down while they dealt with this infestation of cockroaches. So very powerful people. Don't make enemies of the pest controllers.
Absolutely. Do you know what? We're going to play some tunage now. And we're going to get our first guest on the phone. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Shall we have some of this?
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. RiftAccounting.com.
JobsInKent.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 22nd of November. I'm now joined on the phone by our first guest today, Mr. Steve Clark. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, good.
Thank you for joining us. It's a real pleasure to hear from you. Now, I've been lucky enough to see you and hear you speak a couple of times, so I know how good you are at what you're doing. And you're coming down to Kent in a week or so's time to speak at the Grow Kent conference. So
I am. It's right around the corner. It's next Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just around the corner from where we are here in Ashford. And it's on Wednesday the 30th, and we're really looking forward to that. So I wondered if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners a little bit about you, Steve, and then a little bit about what you're going to be telling us about when you come down.
Yeah, sure. It'd be my pleasure, Paul. First of all, it'd be lovely to come back down to Kent, too. I've worked a number of times down there with different groups and different audiences. It's been absolutely fantastic. So I really am looking forward to coming back down there. My background's pretty straightforward, Paul, really. I left school with no qualifications, but I fell into sales at the age of 18. And from the age of 19, I've had my own businesses. So all number of things, from office equipment to a ski industry business that I had in North America, which I floated on the stock market. That was quite an experience.
Wow.
And then my last business was an IT company here in the UK, which I started, found a niche, and then managed to grow to, actually it was just over $32 million a year in revenues before I sold that a few years ago.
Wow.
So I don't say that to impress, just to impress maybe upon some of the listeners that are thinking of coming along, that what I'm going to share on the day isn't hollow theory or just stuff from a book somewhere. All that I'm going to share when I come down is stuff that I know absolutely has helped me build businesses over the years, but also I spend my time now literally around the world speaking at conferences, helping whether it's startups or people breaking through their first $500,000, $1 million or $20 million, help them get more clients, more sales, more profits.
Absolutely. And as you quite rightly say, this is built on real world experience, not on theories from books.
I'm fine that people that are good academics that can teach the theory, that's lovely, and I'm not knocking them for that. But I think one of the reasons that I do get people's ear is that, well, at whatever stage someone is, I would guess, that is coming to the event next week, like I say, whether it's the thought process, early startup, breaking through their first million or the first 10 million, their first one employee or 100 employees, whatever stage they're at, I've probably been there too. So I feel their pain, but I also feel the excitement and know that right now we are in really exciting, yes, challenging, but exciting times.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting, as someone that owns a business myself and was definitely not from a sales background initially, and had to learn, you know, as you went along by the seat of your pants kind of thing. And 20 years later, it's just starting to sink in, I think. the thing that always astounds me about the UK especially is we seem to have a really poor view of the sales process and selling as a profession.
Well, I shall rip that apart when I'm down there next week and just try and put this into perspective. I've been busy this morning on a rare day for me in the office, actually putting together a training day that I'm running in Lithuania in January for 600 people.
Right.
And again, it comes back down to the fact that they want me to teach all sorts of high-fluting sales tactics and strategies and all these different ideas. When it comes right down to it, Paul, what you've got to build with sales is trust.
Absolutely.
If you can build trust, people will come and buy it. For some reason, people have this alter ego person they try to step into being when they think they need to be in sales. But the fact is, whether you're the delivery driver or the chief exec, it doesn't matter what it says on your business card nowadays. If you're in business, you're in sales.
Absolutely.
So I try and help people detune what this being in sales looks like and just realize that if you could help more people make up their minds and serve them better, wouldn't that be good?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's sales.
And I don't know. I don't know what your view on this is. So I could be heading for a fall here. but from my point of view, I think the sales process has changed quite dramatically in the time that I've been in business. Years ago, I was involved in businesses where there was a lot of cold calling and stuff like that. And I think now it's much more moved towards relationship building and building long-term pipelines to sales.
Yeah, totally. I get asked to speak not only at conferences, Paul, but also to run trainings maybe for mixed groups of business audiences, for small companies, and also for some large corporates and multinationals. I've just been booked by one of the largest banks in the world to go and train their people because they know they need to be in sales, but they don't know what that looks like.
Right.
But it's all about trust. I mean, there's the irony. I'm going to go and train banks about trust. That's another subject altogether, isn't it?
I used to know loads of jokes about that. why has the trust department of the bank got their pens chained to the desk?
I mean, there is a global trust crisis. We know that.
Yeah.
And so it's down to us as SMEs particularly. And even when I'm talking to the bank, my view is that all the different departments that I'm talking to, they should be treating their role and their job as if they are an entrepreneur and run it like it's their business, build trust, add value. And if you can continually focus on building trust and adding value, the clients will come. But until there's trust, that the sale doesn't exist. So the old school, I mean, this will be music to some people's ears. For me, I believe cold calling is a complete waste of time.
Absolutely.
80s style. There's a caveat there, Paul. I'm not saying don't pick up the phone, but I'm saying 80s style, knocking the door and ringing the phone without an announcement. No, it's a complete waste of time. There's so many better ways to be so much more effective today. And again, they're some of the things that I'm going to help people with when I come down next week.
I'm so glad you said that, Steve, because it's something that's been driving me nuts. You don't see it as often as you do, but I still, as a businessman, I still get cold called by people. And I just think, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
None of us like being cold called, right? I mean, I have found, by the way, if it's any help to you and the listeners, the greatest way of getting rid of those nuisance calls at 7:30 at night
is just
to answer the phone. I'm so glad you called. Thank you so much. Listen, if you could just give me your home number and tell me what time you get off work, I'll give you a call back later. Every time they hang the phone up. So it'd be nice to them. It might be rude to them, but they'll disappear very quickly. But we don't like it, so why would you do it?
Yeah.
However, that said, and again, I'll share these stories next week. I've just spoken through all through Eastern Europe, from Poland to Latvia, Macedonia, Serbia, Kosovo, all across Eastern Europe, through the fact that I picked up the phone to one person to help her with something. I'll probably share that story on the day. It'd be easier than over the radio just now. But it wasn't a cold call because I used LinkedIn effectively.
Mm.
And if you do that effectively, you can still call someone that you don't know, but it never has to be a cold call. And there is a subtle difference, but I will explain that fully to people and debunk that myth. But cold calling, as we used to know it, complete waste of time.
Fantastic.
But here's the sad thing too. Marketing, like we used to do it, is dead in the water too. So people do need to look at the new ways to engage more people. You're familiar, Paul, of course, with ROI, return on investment, which is what most people measure in business. We should now be looking at ROE, that's return on engagement.
Right.
And the more you can engage with more people and attract people to you, then great stuff starts to happen.
That's fascinating and absolutely spot on. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. And talking about engagement, Steve, if people want to find out more about you, how can they engage with you?
Well, they can come onto my website, of course, which is all the W's and Eureka Selling. Or one word, Eureka, EUREKA, EurekaSelling.co.uk.
Fantastic. And there is a link to that website on the Kent Business Radio website as well.
I think there is probably somewhere there too. You'll also be interested to know, I'm quite proud of this, but next week will be my first launch or effective availability of my brand new book. So I'm bringing a bunch of books down and hopefully some people can glean some good info from that. I've just written a book called Eureka Moments.
Eureka Moments.
It's all about getting to yes, all about the things that you do in a business to get you to a yes more often than not.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that, Steve, as always. Looking forward to your presentation. Looking forward to reading your book. Thank you so much for sparing us some time to talk to us on the Business Bunker Show today. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you Wednesday week.
Lovely stuff. Looking forward to it.
Cheers, mate. Paul. Thanks
a lot.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Steve Clark there of Eureka Selling.
It's funny, isn't it, how a lot of these principles and ideas actually work across all spheres of sales and marketing. I mean, social media is the big thing at the moment, but engagement You know, social media without engagement is just noise, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So the key is always about engagement, and how do you actually encourage that engagement?
What you see quite often still is people coming onto social media, Twitter, Facebook, things like that, and just doing exactly what they used to do with cold calling. Mm. They breeze straight in and they go, do you want to buy a car?
Yeah, just broadcasting an old-fashioned sales message.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Mm. Whereas, as Steve quite rightly said, and as we know, it's about building up a relationship, getting to know people, getting to feel comfortable with them, and then kind of gradually introducing what you do, almost when it's almost waiting to be asked.
Yeah, and then they become your sales force for you, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not claiming that this was done deliberately, but there's a new guy called Luke Cunliffe. That's just appeared on Twitter, and I started following him. And I asked a lot of my followers to follow him, and one of them sent him a message, and they just said, oh, can I just give you a bit of advice? I know you're new. In your profile on Twitter, you need to put what your business is. Mm. But of course, that was a great opening, because then he could come back and just tell everybody in no uncertain terms what he did, which is lovely. And I thought that was really brilliant. So cool.
That was all part of the strategy then, was it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Talking about digital media and social media and you know, that whole area, there's a couple of interesting events coming up. One is this Thursday. It's an FSB event, actually. Mm. They're running a digital training session, and it also coincides with their regional meeting. It's in Medway, and you can find the details for that on Eventbrite. Or if you tweet at FSB Kent, I'm sure they'll get back to you on that. So there's one on Thursday, but also the lovely Zoe Cairns. And I love Zoe because she makes it all so simple.
I've heard.
It started.
You can't say anything to that.
The joke started. But she makes it so easy to digest and understand, and that's what I think her particular skill is.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
Also running a social media event, and I think it's if you're not going to Grow Kent, it's actually next Wednesday the 30th. It's down in Romney Marsh.
So, yeah, it is. Yeah, at the Resource Centre.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be published on Zoe's website if you want to go along to
that. I think she was fairly full as well, because I spoke to Zoe last week, and she had 50 delegates.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, the Get Social event we went to, not last week, week before, was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, look at the attendance there. And it's all free. And I still get people coming up to me and saying, you know, I'd love to get more involved in Twitter, but I don't know where to start. I don't, you know, what should I be doing? And my advice to anybody that perhaps is a little bit unsure of how to use that as a medium. You know, get yourself along to one of Zoe's events, and then basically jump in and start using it as the best way.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from True Granola, spelt T-R-O-O, True Granola. And they say, Business Bunker Vanilla Web, we'd love to share our news about hitting our target on the crowdfunding. You can find out all about them by following them on the Twitter at True Granola. I happen to have met the people behind True Granola. They started off making homemade, organic, wild, free-range granola, which is absolutely gorgeous. And I don't normally like granola. And they brought some into the studio, and I ate three bowls without thinking about it, which was a bit sad. But they've now started making make-your-own granola kits. So they actually sell you a kit to make your own granola. It's quite interesting. Mm. And they've just crowdfunded that and hit their target. So... Wow. Do give them a follow on their Twitter. Mm. And I've also had a tweet from the lovely guys over at Venom Tech over there at Discovery Park in Sandwich. And I don't know if you heard, Dr. Steve Trim was on the Simon Mayo show last week.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever listened to the Simon Mayo show. They do. The kids write in and go, do you know what happens when? And Steve was the resident expert. And the question put to him was, if a snake bites itself, does it poison itself? Quick straw poll, yes or no? What do you reckon?
No.
No. Yes.
Yes.
Yes and no. most snakes, no, but there are some snakes that can poison other snakes. If I got that right. He'll be on in a minute going, no, that's not what I said at all.
I know Steve, he likes to get down the pub as well, but I'm not sure what his particular poison is, are you?
No. Black Widow, probably. Cool. Anyway, we got thousands of tweets. We got loads of emails to read. But I'd really like to talk to our next guest because it's been quite some time since David was on the show before on the Business Bunker. And it's a pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show, Mr. David Williamson, director at the Kent Business School at the University of Kent. And I'm going to go with a flyer on this, David, and try and get your full title right. Are you the Director of External Engagement?
External Services, that's right, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. David, it's been ages since you were back on, but the last time you were on, you were talking to us about how you were trying to encourage more students to think about setting up their own businesses.
Gosh, yes, we were, weren't we?
Yeah.
And that's just what we've done. We've come a long way since then. I don't know what people think, but some things happened in the last few years. I remember, gosh, I've been in this game a long time now, and I can remember years and years ago, full auditorium of students, you know, and say, who wants to start a business? And it'd be like a little lone hand at the back.
Yeah.
And over the last couple of years, we've run an annual business startup day at the university. And we've actually got one tomorrow, actually, our annual one in Canterbury. We have two campuses, one in Medway, one in Canterbury. And so it's kind of coincidental that I'm here today just before the annual business starts.
That's handy, isn't it?
Isn't it great? Yeah. It really is coincidental, is that? Do you know, we've had 400 students from across the university, you know, registered to exploring a business.
Right.
You know, and you think that is fantastic. Something's happened. You know, I mean, when I was younger, you were going to be a rock star,
yeah,
or you were going to be a footballer.
Sure.
Now you're going to be a chef or an entrepreneur,
yeah,
aren't you? You know,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That seems to be what's trending.
Yeah.
And it's what's trending, you know, and it's increasing and increasing each year. So we think, okay, well, you do the maths on that. If you get 400 from across all disciplines, it's not just the business school, from all disciplines, from across the university, you know, there are going to be, you know, think of it like a funnel. There will be so many students that are going to start a business.
Absolutely.
And our job at the business school, anyway, is to accelerate them, is to accelerate that pipeline. And, you know, because we let them go after 3 years or when they've done a PG. So we've taken approach, really looking at what's happening in the States and in Canada and elsewhere. So, look, and we do say this to students, it's not the best advert in the world. You know, we want to help you fail a little bit whilst you're at the university. And why do we want you to fail a little bit? Because, as you know, they all come in with these fantastic ideas. It's the best thing since sliced bread. And you can actually see it, that they get a little bit sort of downhearted or crestfallen when you say, well, do you know, have you done any research on that? Or does anybody really want to buy that? And they don't quite know. So what we need to do is we don't want to pour cold water on their ideas, but
sure,
we want to encourage them to think creatively. But we do have to give them some tough love eventually. And, you know, it's not all about business plans. And we sometimes say, don't even think about your logo or anything like that. You know, see if anybody wants to buy what you're selling first. And don't worry too much about trying to protect it all too much either.
And that is a key thing, isn't it? Especially with technology and things like that. You know, people can invent things, technically very clever things, but sometimes the market just isn't there.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, and this kind of happened to me with my first business, I had to make the market be there. Yeah. So with my first business, nobody got it, but I had enough faith in it to keep going. It took me 4 years to make my first sale of 25 quid, which is sad.
But that's the classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't know what they need yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's about creating the demand.
Yeah. And that's how Apple have built their business.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they did. They created the need. All they did was take the technology infrastructure and then they built on that.
But it can be hellishly difficult because as an entrepreneur, you don't know whether you just need to create the need or whether it's just a silly idea and it's never going to go. Yeah. And really only a process of trying will kind of sort
well, we're
that
lucky
question
today
out for
you. We've got Graham Marley sitting here and Let's Do Business Group manage the startup loans program for the government in Kent and Sussex and Surrey as well, I think, as well.
Yeah, and so, most of the rest of the country.
Yeah, so the whole of the South East, certainly. Yeah. But one of the fundamental things, and it comes back to good old-fashioned marketing, that's key in the startup loans business plan is the customer insight that you have based your business plan on. So, you know, show us that you have identified that need in the marketplace. What have you done in terms of researching that market to actually be able to credibly put together a business plan on the back of which, you know, you're going to successfully
and
borrow
money?
That's
just what we're doing when we're talking about Tough Love with our students at the moment. We have, this year, we have an entrepreneur in residence who's there to give that tough love.
Right.
We also have a range of mentors, successful entrepreneurs themselves, who are giving of their own time so that, you know, they can kind of rinse the ideas as well. And then what we're going to be doing, the students get to pitch before investors. And so they get to experience a real life. It's not textbook. You know, and this is what we're very much about here at the university and at the business school, is we do the theory, of course, is the classroom theory, and they're very, very popular, yeah, of course, but we combine that with the practical. At one time, you would have just found the theory. So we really want to engage with entrepreneurs from the outside world. We see it as a complementary virtuous circle, that if we have entrepreneurs that can inspire students, give them that tough love, You know, tell them what it's like to be your own boss, the good and the bad, the long hours, but the rewards. That's fantastic, because if they don't actually hear it and they don't actually see it and they're not inspired, then it's still an idea. And so often, you know, I have students knocking on my door or on the door of the team at the business school saying, I've got this great idea, you know, but, you know, I'm not going to do anything with it just yet. And we say, oh, well, why is that? Well, of course, you know, I've got this to do and that to do, and sure, fine, they're at university, the number one priority is to get the degree. Of course it is. And saying, so when are you going to start your business? Well, maybe when I've got a job and a few years down the line, and saying, well, and what would happen maybe if just by some chance someone actually had the same idea as you? Oh, well, yeah, well, someone probably will in the next few years, because nothing's that unique. No one has, it's very rare that you find disruptive technologies or disruptive ideas. I'd say it's a bit of sort of reverse psychology. Someone's probably already got your idea anyway. There's probably 100 people in the world have already got your idea. It's just getting to the market first, finding a gap, being viable. So we're wrapping a whole lot of resource around all of that. As I say, we have an entrepreneur in residence in the new business school building, £36 million new building. Not an insignificant investment for Kent.
Absolutely.
You know, we want this to be a real hub for the whole county, bringing businesses together, entrepreneurs, industry bodies, as well as our students and our academic expertise. You know, we have a whole space in there that is just going to be dedicated to acceleration of ideas.
Fantastic. Okay.
That psyche is interesting, isn't it? Because it's not just students that have that dilemma. Anybody that's starting a business ultimately has to ask themselves, am I going to do this or aren't I? I know I did last year. You know, so it always comes down to you.
Well, it's the famous Richard Branson saying, isn't it? Screw it, let's do it.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. You at some point, you gird your loins and you jump. And there's loads of aphorisms about such things, like, you know, you can't jump a chasm in two small jumps and all that kind of things. You've just got to go for it, and you just go, we succeed or we fail. And
you can't teach that. You know,
no, you can't, but David made reference to it right on when he first started to talk as well, and it's one of the most important things, is this acceptance of failure. We must get more comfortable with failing.
They're doing the steps.
I mean, interestingly, sorry, David, a conference on Friday. We had a Paralympic swimmer talking to us, you know, giving us a motivational talk. And she said one of the most important things she's learned is to plan failure into her training schedule. And the reason for doing that is if you do fail, you then become a lot more resilient next time along. And I think if you're within a university framework, you know, encouraging and helping your students to fail, it will make them more resilient with their next business idea. And I think that's really helpful.
It's a great time to do it because, you know, whilst they're still in the relative safety net of being at university and getting support, you know, a few failures don't do any harm. We did the Medway Business Startup Day just last week, and there were some students there who'd been on the program. I think you've got the brochures of it here on the Business Startup Journey program. And, you know, I had to give them that tough love last year, you know. And they actually said, you know, I had this great idea, and then David kind of knocked it on the head with a hammer, and, okay, I'm only doing it because, or we're only doing it, is because we don't want people to waste their time and energy. Mm. And that sort of example I was giving is that, you know, you think of an idea and I'm going to do it one day, and you lay in bed at night, and one day when this happens and I've, you know, paid off the car and I've got a bit more free time, I'm going to start that bit. You know, it's on the never never. Mm. You know, and you could be wasting a whole lot of dreams, a whole lot of time, and when you do find time to do it, and, you know, hopefully no one's beaten you to it, you investigate it, you do the market research, and you know what? No one's interested. Mm. And you've probably spent 5 years thinking of this fantastic idea. Mm. You've just got to, as you say, Paul, you've just got to roll up your sleeves. Mm. So that's what we want to do with our students, is just saying, get out there. The most important thing, you know, is market testing. We're very much going along the lines of lean startup. I know it's bandied about an awful lot is lean startup. But we are looking at that approach and saying, what, you know, don't do things that's going to cost you a lot of money. Mm. You know, shoe leather's the best thing you've got here.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah? Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I really love what you guys are doing. And you know, I've had various levels of involvement with the business school over the years.
Yeah.
And I really love what you guys are doing. And for those long-term listeners of the Business Bunker, you may recall that 2 years ago we did a whole year with the business school, with Dr. Simon Raby and Toby Lindsay and Professor Mark Gilman. And we were looking at what makes a small business successful based on a lot of research they did. And we did a monthly program on one of each of the 10, what they call BIG, the Business Improvement and Growth.
And on topics. From that, what we're doing now is we've doing some work on behalf of KCC. Mm. Through our Strategy and International Business Group, looking at what SMEs in Kent think about Brexit, how it's going to influence their operations, how they're going to procure, how they're going to spend, and it's really interesting.
I was going to ask you about that, because interestingly, the last time you invited me to an event, or it must have been 18 months ago, maybe a year ago, in which one of your faculty, a Spanish lady, talked about doing business in Spain, and it was fantastic.
Was it an innovation by any chance?
Yeah,
it was. That would be Professor Marian Garcia.
Yeah,
because we're looking at open innovation, user innovation, and again, coming back to what we're doing at Medway and in the new building, you know, it's very much about innovation and entrepreneurship at the heart of where we're going with this. Let's be honest. We have students coming because they need to get a job. They want to get a job. And so we always say, look, you know, come here. We'll put you the head of the job queue. Of course we will. But for those that actually maybe just want to think about working for themselves or starting a business, you know, Kent's a fantastic place to come. I would say that, of course. But we've got all the support. We've got the expertise.
Yeah.
Just this year, we've taken on three new experts in innovation and entrepreneurship to complement a team that we've already got. We run modules across the university through the business school in enterprise and business startup, the most popular modules across the university. Something is happening. Now, of course, not everyone's going to be, you know, the next Bill Gates. We know that. But you listen to what a lot of the industry bodies are saying as well, and sector bodies, is that, you know, we know that the way the whole market is schisming in terms of employment. And, you know, it's about, we want entrepreneurial skills. Mm. So whether you're going to start a business, you know, and be an entrepreneur, I don't know what you folks are finding, but also it's about, we want to see intrapreneurs, because this large corporate,
absolutely,
this big behemoth, is only going to exist if we've got bright people.
Absolutely.
You know. Now, if they can then align the structures and the silos
that's
within
the
those big corporates to, you know, include those intrapreneurs, even better. Get that right, and we've got something cracked.
You're absolutely right. Interestingly enough, I occasionally lecture to MBA students at the LSE and Birkbeck College, and nearly all of those students are actually on secondment from corporate jobs.
Yeah.
But they've all been sent to do an MBA, which, you know, is one of those kind of corporate things as much as anything.
Yeah.
But they've been done it. They're now doing it from the point of view of entrepreneurial or intrapreneurialism.
How coincidental, because our executive MBA, people out there looking to develop themselves, is that now, as part of the executive MBA at Kent, that's what we're putting in there. What's there as well.
Yeah.
So they can get on this business startup journey or experience how to start a business. And even, and what's even better, where it really helps, is a lot of our executive MBAs are older, you know, sort of early to mid-30s would be the average age. We're getting those people who have started businesses themselves to mentor the younger students in terms of their business ideas.
Absolutely.
You know, and it, it, it really creates those synergies that we want to see.
Absolutely. The,
you know, real business budding entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. You made reference to it earlier about how useful it is to have entrepreneurs and business people involved at the university and talking with students and mentoring them. From the other point of view, having been on the other side of the fence as an entrepreneur, don't overlook how useful it is talking to people that are quite smart as well. Mm-hmm. These young guys are smart. They're savvy. They know what's going on. And, you know, for us older guys, it can be a real eye-opener talking to some of these people as well. It is a two-way street. There's a benefit to both sides. So I just wanted to kind of finish up, David, on the kind, because I know you do lots of things to try and build relationships with businesses in Kent. So can you kind of tell us about a few of those?
Yeah, well, I've talked about entrepreneurship, of course. Our student is a great asset for businesses that are out there that may be looking to take a student internship or student placement, where you could have a student, maybe they've done 2 years in a business area, specializing in a business area. They work for you for a year on a set project, or they start something for you. They bring that expertise that, particularly for small businesses, you may not have. They could set up a function or a system, or they could join your existing team. We'd be delighted to hear from you about that. Just go to the Kent Business School business page. All the links are there. We also, I've mentioned the executive MBA. I'll do a shout out for that. Very, very flexible MBA, and it's Amber accredited. That's our kite mark. You know, not all MBAs are. We are an accredited MBA centre, and that executive MBA is designed to fit around the busy life of executives. Our research is top notch, and
absolutely,
we got acknowledged for that in the research excellence framework. Gosh, now this is where I'm going to insult a lot of colleagues, you see, by not mentioning their centre. But let me just say, from anything from marketing to HR to management science, we're currently working with a number of organisations on knowledge transfer partnerships.
Yep, absolutely.
So we actually have postgraduate, very specialised expertise in innovation. These are currently in logistics and heuristics, which is important for Kent as a place where, you know, goods come through and pass through, working with a number of organizations on those. There's government funding for those, 50%. So if you're really looking to develop your organization through innovative means so that we can help you embed innovation so that when that person leaves you, you've got the system in place, we'd be very keen to speak to you on that one. The government funding is there. I don't know how long it's going to be there, but it's there at the moment. So that's something that's a
few years ago, I was quite involved talking to various parts. I was actually talking to the School of Digital Engineering and Arts about knowledge transfer programs. And some of the knowledge transfer programs are quite big programs. And at that time, they had I don't know what the technical term was, but I called it a short knowledge transfer program, which was much more geared towards smaller businesses. I don't know if you still have that kind of approach.
Well, they used to be mini KTPs.
That's the one.
That's the one. Now, of course, with the cuts, they kind of...
They've got
but it. I think they're revisiting it. And interestingly, you know, a lot of those KTPs, I think there will be a groundswell in the case of, you know, post-Brexit, is that we're all going to need to, or a lot of us at least, are going to need to internationalise. We're getting a lot of calls about, you know, because we obviously have specialists in international business and international strategy. So we're very keen that if there's any organisations out there that are looking to internationalise, either through our students, because they can put ideas together for you, they can test ideas, you know, give them a challenge. Yeah. We've done something called a pitch it, where we get groups of students to look at ideas. We're particularly keen on international business, if there's businesses out there of a size. There's a payback, of course. We don't charge for any of this, but we would like them to offer an internship to any winning teams. Do get in contact with us. If there's any sort of research that you want the team to undertake in, you know, potential markets, international markets, get back to us on that. I think that one's only going to grow and grow.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just going to say, that export market, the figures are actually incredibly surprising that 92%, I'll say that again, 92% of UK businesses do not export anywhere. Yeah. 92%. So there's a huge amount of potential there.
There
huge.
Is. Yeah. And particularly for Kent. I mean, you know, we're right on the edge here, aren't we?
Yeah, our proximity to the continent.
And so I guess I will just say, you know, you have a business school on your doorstep with campus in Medway, in Tunbridge, and the main one at Canterbury. We're very much about enabling Kent businesses to internationalise, utilise our students, utilise our research base, and we'd be, of course, very interested in successful entrepreneurs to maybe work with us to inspire our students as well.
Fantastic. David, thank you so
much.
You're more
than welcome. We're going to have to invite you to some events, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would love to come along. I've always enjoyed all the types of events that you've held at the university and getting involved with, as I say, smart people.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of things called business soundbites.
Right.
Okay, these are networking events open to any business in Kent or, you know, maybe even East Sussex. We might even let them in, you never know.
With a passport, please. Yeah.
Across the border, you mean?
Yeah. We've just done an event on Brexit,
right.
And we've got another one coming up. I think there'll be Brexit part 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm. Anyway, we're going to intersperse those sort of network events with innovation and new sources of financing, and crowdfunding will be another area, of course. So we'd be delighted to host people, and with this fantastic new building, do check the website, go to Kent Business School, you'll be amazed. There's a fantastic little fly-through through the building. This is going to be a great hub for Kent businesses, and we want to really see it be, you know, a way of synergizing anyone in the county that's, you know, wanting to make the place a successful economic place.
Absolutely.
Okay.
David Williamson, Director of Kent Business School at the University of Kent. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you.
I'm just going to tell you this because you need to know this. There is a link to the University of Kent, Kent Business School, on the Business Bunker website. Do follow that. And as well as all the things David's talked about, there are tons and tons and tons of resources on there. Yeah. You can find out all kinds of stuff. Some of it's free, some of it's paid for, but the research data and the kind of stuff that's on there is unbelievable. Do check it out. It is a really, really massively useful resource. You, so do have a look at that.
You definitely ought to get a regular networking event on the calendar because the one thing that small businesses in Kent do really well is network.
Yeah.
So that would be a valuable addition.
And that's what we're there to do. You know, we are an educational establishment, you know, but we see that, again, this assists our students, it assists our researchers. So whilst we're sharing knowledge to businesses, they're gaining new things. And to be honest, the approach we're really taking at the moment is around if we can just provide like a snapshot of the future. It's not all about looking in the past. Our research, you know, is about these are the things either in international business or marketing or innovation. You know, if Kent businesses can just take away a few things.
Yeah.
To help improve their strategies or their business plans. Mm-hmm. That's a result for us. And we get talking.
Absolutely. I think ignorance is the biggest enemy, isn't it, for a lot of small
businesses. We're not an ivory tower. We're certainly not. Our doors are open. And, I'll say this. You'll see on our school web pages, we're talking about open for business, open for business. We really are open for business in all different ways.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, I've had an email as well from the government. Talking exactly about these kind of things.
Anyone in particular?
No, they're secret. something or other.
TM.
It's a new online exporting hub. Mm. The government have just launched this week great.gov.uk. great.gov.uk. A new online platform to make it easier for small firms to export more and crucially to enable overseas buyers to identify potential UK suppliers. The new platform includes advice for new and existing suppliers, the ability to build a buyer profile, to showcase your goods or your services, and a potential to find new export opportunities. So talk to the University of Kent. Talk to UKTI.
UKTI.
Go look at this website, great.gov.uk. Check it out.
They've actually always been very, very good at pushing the exporting, haven't they, I think, the government. UKTI provides some fantastic support. I mean, they'll pay for you to visit markets, do research in those markets. There's all sorts of money available for that.
I think they're going to be very busy people, don't you, looking ahead?
Yeah. Absolutely, from now, absolutely. It's going to get busier and busier and busier. Good stuff. Have you got anything that you... I've got some more tweets that I need to read.
I've got a couple of events. FSB, Women in Business Brunch, November. It's next Tuesday. It's at Base Point in Dartford. So if you are a lady business owner and you'd like to go along to that and network with your fellow lady business owners, next Tuesday, 10 to 12, Dartford, and it's on Eventbrite.
Fantastic. Tietrose Bar in Canterbury says, hi, Vanilla Web, please could you give us a shout out on the Business Bunker show? We're offering an exclusive, opulent, no less, venue for corporate and private Christmas parties in Canterbury. Thank you very much. And you can follow them on the Twitter and find out more about their opulent venue by following Tetros Bar, and that's spelt T-E-A-T-R-O-S-B-A-R. Tetros Bar, and they're in Canterbury.
Is that Tetros or is it Tetros?
Well, I pronounce it Tetros, but I'm from South London. You can pronounce it how you like, mate. Tetros. I suppose the clue was in opulent, wasn't it? Yeah. Tetros. Yeah.
This is Canterbury we're talking about, not South London.
Sorry. Holcombe Health Clinic. Holcombe Health Clinic. Please may we have a shout out for our physiotherapy, sports therapy, reflexology, nutrition and hypnotherapy clinic, TAR. You can indeed. That's Holcombe Health Clinic, Holcombe Health on the Twitter. I've had a tweet from the lovely Lisa Settle. Mm. And Lisa is the director of Telcare Limited, and Telcare are the sponsors of today's show. Telcare are the telecommunications provider based over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. And Lisa herself has just completed her charity bike ride from Vietnam to Cambodia. And she's going to be coming on the show in the next couple of weeks to tell us all about it. So we are looking forward to hearing her sore saddle stories about her bike ride. Yeah. So fantastic.
I've got another FSB lunch that I need to get in. It's Slope Off Friday, which has really become very, very popular. It's on Friday the 16th of December. It's at the Red Sails restaurant in Faversham. I believe it's fully booked, but people are bound to drop out as the date approaches. So it's Friday the 16th of December. If you want to email andrew.knott@fsb.org.uk, I'm sure he'd be delighted to put you on a waiting list. Or follow at Jewel Serkin or at Andrew K. Knott on the Twitter.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Anthony Jones, and his Twitter handle is AJPhotoInfo, AJPhotoInfo. And he says, VanillaWeb, please can I have a shout-out on the Business Bunker show. He's a Sheerness-based business, and it gets really lonely on the Isle of Sheppey, he says. So what he'd like to know, because he's not long moved there either, is are there any networking groups on the Isle of Sheppey, presumably that don't involve sheep, that involve people and businesses? So if you run a networking group or know of a networking group on the island or especially around Sheerness, please let either me or Anthony know.
He doesn't run a curry house, does he, on the island?
A curry house?
Yes.
No, he's a photographer.
Oh, he's a photographer. Okay. Because I met a couple of chaps at Unconference last week. You've got a wonderful curry house and one of those...
Poppadoms?
You go to Morocco. Hubbly Bubbly. They've got
a hooker.
They've got a Hubbly Bubbly bar on the back of their curry house. Sittingbourne. In Sheppey somewhere, sorry.
Well, that's a bit of networking, isn't it?
So anyway, I'm going to pass... I said I'd pass them your... pass Paul their details in case you're ever thinking of running a curry event down in Sheppey.
So, could be something to consider, definitely.
Yeah, for the future, maybe. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Right, should we go have some more tunage? We have a break in the show. And when we come back, we're going to talk to our next two guests. I've got Kiss from a Rose here. It hasn't started, mine. It has now.